Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
My thing got stuck. Go!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. I think it's a popcorn hole. Is this? Do you eat popcorn and find that you get a hole stuck in the same place virtually every time on the roof of your mouth? How, if you gave me a popcorn hole and said, Friel, shove this into the roof of your mouth in this because there's a little hole right there. Just go ahead and I could never do it, but I'll eat a fistful of popcorn and I got the thing right. So my lisp is kind of stuck, hoping that you will send stuff, whatever is wretched. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org? If you would like to text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, or how to get a popcorn hole. See, now I actually know how to get it out. The water pick is magnificent when it comes to popcorn holes, but it got up there and I didn't, I had popcorn last night and I had, and it just came out. It just like made a guest appear. It just kind of stuck its little head out. And now my tongue is obsessed with it. Yeah. So it's the water pick. You got another method. idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337. Whilst we announce, this is very exciting. Super pumped about this. This just makes my cold conservative heart go pitter patter. I don't know if you're familiar with the ministry and how it is that we pay the bills here. We rely on the kindness of God's people. But we also have a store where we sell some of our stuff. Right now, we are giving away, we probably give away about 90% of everything that we produce here. But we do have a store, and it's helped us financially so that we can just keep doing ministry and producing more stuff. Well, the more we give, the more we feel like we want to give away. And right now, we want to give away everything, which means we want to close the store and make all of our resources, the Sunday school curriculum, everything that's, we want to make it free, the audio and video resources, free to everybody around the globe. And so that little desire that we had has now blossomed and bloomed into the Truth Unhindered campaign. It is a match giving campaign. If you would help us close the store by supporting us, we're going to give it away. And we have got a strategy to reach thousands of churches and even the stinkers, which tragically is probably most of them. We want to get these resources. I don't care. I don't care if it's Jehovah's Witness uses our resources. We will get these resources into churches around the globe by closing the store, making them free. But we kind of need to replace that revenue, hence the Truth Unhindered match campaign. Every dollar you give, it gets doubled courtesy of a gospel partner who's very kind and very excited about giving everything away. You want to join us? You can do so at fortisinstitute.org/truth, as in Truth Unhindered, fortisinstitute.org/truth. Join us as we close the store. Start giving it all away. Jimmy, I got to tell you, there are ministries out there that sell stuff like we have for years. Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge that at all. I am just super pumped that we get to give everything away because of our gospel partners. We just want to keep cranking and bang. We're creating 7 new pieces of material every single day. They go up free, by the way, at fortisplus.org. But a lot of these, we're making more and more with the Fortis Fellows. And we just don't want to put a price tag on them. We would just like 100% that our gospel partners partner with us to reach people and churches around the globe. It's the Truth Unhindered campaign, FortisInstitute.org/truth.
All right, we're starting with Anonymous, who wrote in, Todd, my pastor's wife attends church only 50% of the time. The excuse is always that the kids are sick, and it concerns me for her and the kids, and no one in our church seems to be alarmed. I don't believe that she attends a life group or Bible study either, and I don't believe that the pastor and his wife are having people over at their home. In fact, the pastor himself doesn't want his address known to the church, preferring mail to go through the church office. What are your thoughts on this?
You got to know more to be able to know what's going on, which is why I would encourage you to talk to them. And here's, I think, the key. At the very beginning of that, was it a text or an email?
That was an email.
At the beginning of that email, you said you're concerned. Search your heart and ask what is troubling you. If your concern is, hey, why ain't the pastor's wife showing up for church all the time? She's supposed to be there. You're probably not ready to approach her. But if it's, hey, something must be broken here. Something must be off. They might need help. Or maybe they've got a sick child that is like perennially sick and you're just not aware of it. It's a chronic ill. You just don't know. Then jump in. Because you care and you're genuinely concerned about what's happening because you desire to help, then you should meet with them and say, hey, I've noticed that the missus is not in church all the time. So we don't need to know the deets. We don't need to know everything that's going on. But how could we, if there's something that's happening that makes it hard for her to go to church, we want to help. Oh, that's a lovely meeting to have. No. It'll also be a telling meeting if there's more going on because of some of the other details that you mentioned. Now, those things will come out, but that's the way to approach every issue in the church, that you're genuinely concerned, not bugged, not agitated, not using that to go, yeah, see, that just makes sense because of the way that he preached that sermon the other. No, that's if that's the spirit, then you probably need to do some heart work. But if you're concerned, talk to help them. And please note this too. This is maybe not directly related to this particular question, but I'll use it as an opportunity to remind us the pastor's wife is not occupying an office. She's a church member. She's the spouse of the shepherd, but she's not a shepherdress. Well, in some churches, she's not what she doesn't have to be at every Bible study. She doesn't have to go to every single event, just like any other church member. So don't put that yoke or burden on your pastor's wife. She's a church member, and most likely she probably does do more than the average bear. But don't expect that she's doing everything because she's not the one who's called. She came with the man who was called. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, recently I've heard a few people say, give yourself grace after I've explained to them a scenario when I sinned against someone. And that just didn't sit right with me. Does this mean that you give yourself a pass when you sin?
I don't want to. The answer to that is, this is what I have learned. That there are so many tender hearts in Christendom, that so many people that are so willing to put themselves in the category of unsaved, that I always want to be super careful with questions like this, because because it's easy for somebody to hear a little nugget and then just cast off everything. I had a lovely conversation with somebody at church on Sunday. I offered a caveat to the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, it's a little different than the parable of the 10 virgins, which precedes it. Jesus is just drubbing the disciples with parables and illustrations to be ready. Parable of the 10 virgins is primarily about making sure that you're ready by being saved. The parable of the talents is to make sure that you're being vigilant in your works. In other words, you're being diligent. You're being vigilant of your salvation, diligent in the parable of the talents, that you're doing works. And whenever that sort of subject comes up of works are not required for salvation, but they're a necessity in that they reveal one is saved. I know that that can put people into a tailspin. I know that can. And I was talking to somebody after the service because I gave the caveat, hey, if you hear this and you're starting to go, hey, wait, I'm not doing enough works. Hey, wait a second, I'm not being vigilant enough. Don't go into a tailspin. And this individual said, I've been learning just because I get struck by something like I'm not doing enough or I should be or there's a corrective, then I don't throw it all away. That's a great line for you. If you're inclined to do that, you're inclined to hear something of a corrective. You're inclined to hear, uh-oh, I'm not doing enough. Don't think you're automatically disqualified. It just means you've got an area where you need to get to work on it. But that doesn't mean you go back to zero. It means that the Holy Spirit is convicting you or just illuminating an area of your life where it's time to start growing. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that suddenly your walk is canceled. You can't do that to yourself. And so I think that line might be super helpful. When you feel that way, do not throw everything out. And as for the actual question that was sent in to idea@wretched.org, we'll tackle next on Wretched Radio.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary. We're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit fortisinstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. the Vulgate remain the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here back up, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. I didn't quite get to an answer from an email sent to idea@wretched.org, which said...
From Anonymous, recently I have heard a few people say give yourself grace after I explained a scenario when I sinned against someone. It didn't quite sit right with me. So does this mean to give yourself a pass when you sin?
If I do not answer this with a both and, somebody will get a little bit shipwrecked. If I just say, well, I mean, hey, you're forgiven. Of course you don't worry about it. Well, then somebody could run off into the land of licentiousness. I got liberty. If I say that's a stupid saying, there's nothing biblical about that. You don't give yourself grace. God gives yourself grace. Well, it might cause you to forever harbor that sin and to think that it's still dwelling and residing there and it's not cleaned up and taken care of. Furthermore, you might be confused about what do I do about the bad feelings that I have about this sin? So do you give yourself grace? Technically, the answer is no, you don't forgive yourself, but yes, you appreciate the grace that has been provided for you from Jesus. In other words, you don't give the grace, you receive the grace. So technically, I would say it's probably not a great phrase, but simultaneously, I would say, don't not celebrate the fact that God actually does forgive you for your sins. He already did, past, present, and future. You know, the sins you're going to commit tomorrow have already been paid for. They're already taken care of. And you should rejoice in that. So do you show yourself grace? You don't give yourself grace, but you can show yourself the grace that has been given to you. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I was wondering how to deal with impure thoughts or memories. I struggle with these and as a result begin to despise myself.
See,
for having
that's
them.
What I was talking about. Yeah. See, this is tender territory. I'm telling you, a pastor, teacher, parent, be mindful of this. I am really persuaded. I don't know what the percentage is. Lifeway hasn't gotten to this poll yet. I expect they will because they poll everything. But there's just a high percentage of Christians that sound exactly like this email. I've got this sin battle going on. Yikes! I'm getting weary, and I feel like I might not be saved. Is that basically the bottom line on that? Is there lacking assurance?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Super common. Now sin is going to do that to you. Sin is going to cause because you've been lied to. You keep believing the lie, especially when it comes to pornography. Why? Because it's a sexual sin, and I don't think there's any other sin that compares to the devastation that is done by sexual sin. I think that's what the Bible says. No sin so affects the body. So if you're participating in that sin, yeah, it is going to trash you. It is going to beat you up. Doesn't mean, however, that you're not saved. Guess what? Gotta be careful with this answer too. Because there's a possibility you're not. But there's a possibility you are. That is why when you're playing with porn, you are playing with fire. You're holding fire on your chest and you're going to get burned. You could have some very valid reasons to think that you're not saved because you are regularly consuming pornography. So what do you need to do or know to determine if you actually are saved? Well, here's the definitive one. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Okay, prove yourself to be a Christian. Prove yourself to be one who is blood-bought. Don't do it anymore. That assurance problem is going to stop nagging you because porn will do that to you every single time. Short of that, if you don't want to do that, you got to ask some questions like, how do I feel about watching porn? But simultaneously, I've just written a book about this and we're going to be releasing it. I want to say in July, we're going to be doing a giveaway. We want to give that away too. We're going to be giving that away. It is a booklet that talks about the affections. That when you watch porn, despite your protestations that you hate porn, the reality is you love it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. Now, are there aspects of it you hate? Sure. Because it's maybe making a hash out of your marriage. You feel kind of all the time. You feel slinky and you think that everybody maybe knows. And so you're living underneath a cloud. So you hate that, or you hate the idea of getting caught, or you hate the fact that your wife actually does know. And well, you know, things have been a little rough since then. You hate that, but you don't actually hate doing it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. What else do you do that you hate? Seriously, what else do you do that you hate? Okay. Brussels sprouts. No. What's the southern thing? Collard greens?
Did you say collard? Collard greens.
Well, there's two L's. Wouldn't it be a yeah?
It's collard greens.
Collard greens.
Just say greens.
Jimmy, what did I say the other day about the South? Do you remember? When I was talking about winning the war and losing the war?
You said us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I become a Southerner who doesn't know how to say collard greens. Okay. It's a stronger word than I'd probably use, but let's just work with the vernacular that we've got before us. I hate collard greens. I even hate the way that you have to say it because I think it should be collard greens. That's the way I think if we set it up north. Nevertheless. Yeah. All right. You know what? I don't eat them. I don't eat them because I hate them. You claim you hate porn and yet you do it. So that means you're deceived. You actually love your porn. Now, what do you need to do to get rid of your porn? You need to have a greater love. It's the expulsive power of new affections that it'll drive out your current love. It will remove the paramour of porn because I have a greater love than that. And that greater love, of course, is Jesus Christ. So your affections need to change. And that then relates to how you feel about the status of your salvation. Your feelings are a part of whether or not you can determine if you're saved. How do you feel when you finish watching porn? How do you feel? And if you don't hate it, you got big trouble. If you loathe it because... oh, I've sinned again. Now, remember, this is different than loathing porn. It's loathing that you've sinned against God. If that's your feeling, that is a better sign that you actually are saved. So emotions aren't any sort of barometer as to whether or not you're saved, but they're not the definitive barometer for those things. And I'm not even sure thermometer, measurement stick, the ruler for... but they're not nothing. How do you feel when you watch porn? Do you hate it because you have sinned against King Jesus? That would be a better sign. When we release the book, it's two chapters dedicated to this subject that will help you. But to the individual who wrote in to say, hey, I'm watching, how did he phrase it, Jimmy? I've been looking at porn and I'm getting, what did he say?
He said, I despise myself for having the impure thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I get that, and I'm not sure that that's even wrong, but you can't just stay there. This is when you need to run to your Savior. You should feel bad about it. We should all feel bad about whatever our sin is, but that's if we just stop right there and go, okay, I feel miserable. That's the end of the story. Yeeks, that is not Christianity. Christianity means when you do feel terrible about your sin, you've got one source. You've got one individual who can help you not feel bad, and that is Jesus Christ. So you go to him, and 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 you don't stop going to him. And the more you go to him, the less you're going to want to go to porn. You have got to increase your vision of Jesus Christ if you are hooked on porn. You have got to stare at him with unveiled face constantly in order to expand your understanding of who he is and the greatness of your Savior and what he has done to reach down and pull you out of a swamp, set your feet on a rock, adopt you, cleanse you, bring you into the family, and prepare a place for you and allow you to reign with him when he returns. You grow that and your love for pornography will diminish until you actually genuinely do loathe pornography because you love something greater. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, is there a deeper spiritual situation going on regarding the epidemic of young men addicted to online gambling?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I don't think it's young men, is it? I think it's everybody. Yeah. These commercials, and they're kind of trashy too, but nevertheless, these commercials that encourage you to gamble, and then they put up the little, hey, do it. Make sure you do it responsibly. Sure. It's a drug and they're peddling it on TV. Yeah, it's a sign. It's looking for a thrill. It could be get rich quick. That plays into everybody's heart. Hey, you mean I could get a lot of money really fast and I don't have to do anything? Sweet. And I think it also indicates more of a post-Christian culture because historically, gambling was a no-no. That's why they had to fight to get gambling legalized. So I think there's all kinds of implications. If you had to summarize it, I would say it's just another sign we are living in a post-Christian world. Because historically, gambling, at least the type that we're talking about here, would have been considered a sin. This is Wretched Radio.